1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writing to pastor at Ephesus, young Timothy, giving him some instruction. And it's instruction that not only worked for Timothy in his day, but will work for us in our day. You do not have to be a preacher to take the instruction that Paul gives to Timothy. You know that, right? Let's stand as we look to the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. But Craig Gunner, would you lead us in prayer, please? You may be seated. You know, when you look at people, the great men of the Bible, do you ever think, I'd like to be like that? I mean, we have biblical examples like Enoch. What was Enoch famous for? Walked with God. You ever thought, wouldn't you like to be known when your life is over? They talk about you. Wouldn't it be awesome for them to say, now there was a guy or there was a lady that walked with God? Noah. Noah was a friend of God. Abraham, also a friend of God. You got people like David, a man after God's own heart. New Testament examples. Peter, Paul. All men that God used in mighty ways. Elijah in the Old Testament. All men, people that God used. And when I say men, I use that, okay? All inclusive here, all right? All people that God used in a mighty way. Can you be the next great person of God? I mean, do you look at yourself like, I want to be that next great person of God. I want to be the Abraham. I want to be, and I understand they had specific missions, right? But do you ever think, that's the kind of individual I want to be? I want to be that Elijah. Do you ever think you can? Most people don't. Yeah, actually, literally, most people don't believe they could. But as I was thinking about what Paul is telling Timothy here about prayer, I was thinking, and this came to mind. It's found in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 15. When James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. Do you ever think, what is it that stands between me and spiritual greatness? I dare say that for many people, it's their prayer life. But as you look at this, when James says Elijah was a man with the same nature that we have, or a nature like ours. He says that Elijah wasn't any different than you are. And I'm absolutely firmly convinced that the difference between success or spiritual success and spiritual failure is prayer. So I ask you tonight, how's your prayer life? Let's just stop and let's be honest and don't answer out loud, right? Because I'm not going to answer to you out loud. How's your prayer life? Paul says to Timothy, he says, man, you got to pray. He says, he opens here with, I exhort. First of all, that word exhort, it literally means to call to one side. So Timothy's not saying just Timothy, I'm sorry, Paul's not just saying, Timothy, you got to pray. He's saying, Timothy, I exhort you to pray. I call you to my side to join me in prayer. The first thing that I come to realize as I read and studied to prepare this message was, yes, I have to pray, but I also know that there is nothing like God's people getting on the same page and praying together. Okay? We want to be a church that is on fire, and beloved, and I say this respectfully, but we need revival at Victory, don't we? Okay? And I'm not talking about service. I'm talking about a spiritual fire at Victory. What would it be if we made this our prayer for the church at Victory over the next 3 months, that God will send a spiritual revival such as we have never seen before? You think He would? Absolutely. Why wouldn't He? I mean, and as I said, I don't say that to throw stones at Victory. I love Victory, but honestly, I could stand a spiritual revival. So my first challenge with you tonight is, will you join me in a prayer for this church, that we all get on the same page and that we realize that we have a need for a spiritual fire such as we've never had before. We've never lived in these days before. We've never faced the things that we face today. You know, we think, and this the big thing going on in Russellville right now is the casino issue. Do you realize that's not a big issue for our great God? You know what the real need in Russellville, in the state of Arkansas, is? The real need in Russellville and the state of Arkansas is churches that get on fire for the glory of God. When the gospel is preached, when people respond, I'll tell you this morning, I was excited to see the additions to the church, weren't you? I believe it was a direct result of prayer that those additions were made. It wasn't because of this preacher. It wasn't because of our music director. It wasn't because of any one person. It was because the great God responded to the prayers of God's people. That's why I say, I'm like Paul, let's get together. Let's get on the same page. Let's make the next few months a continual prayer that, Lord, send us revival that will light on not only our hearts, but the hearts of people that we come in contact with. Paul says, come to my side, Timothy. I exhort you. Join me in praying. And he says, I exhort, first of all. He didn't just throw that first of all in. You see, that word, first of all, it's first in the order of importance. He's saying, come to my side. Now, Timothy, come to my side. And before we do anything, the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to pray. We've got to pray. That is the most important thing. I mean, there are a lot of people. Let's examine ourselves once again, you know. Do you pray before you do something for the Lord? You see, you can't fight a spiritual battle with physical tools. That's why we've got to be very persistent in our prayer life. Do you realize before you do anything, you should pray about it? Before I preach, guess what? I pray. I do not come up in this pulpit and dare open my mouth without having prayed about preaching. Because I know, I have nothing to offer you as an individual, as a person. There's nothing in me of any value. Do you realize, not only before I preach today, Brother Doug, I understand that. That's a big deal when you're preaching to people. But not just before I preach, before I study, I pray. Because it doesn't work if I don't pray before I study. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes I come into my office and I sit down and I open the Bible and I start turning and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm not getting it. And it dawns on me, duh, talk to God about it. Even during study, when I prayed before, I come to those times where I don't understand and I don't see where God's leading. I don't see where He's going. And I just have to stop and say, God, I don't get it. God, show me. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing, the difference that it makes. When I close my Bible and say, Lord, just show me the truth of Your Word. And then I open it back up and it's like, well, you big dummy, why couldn't you see that before? The reason I couldn't see that before is because God didn't reveal it to me. Prayer works. It has to be first and foremost on our list of priorities. Before you go visit a sick friend, pray. Before you minister to somebody else, pray. Before you teach a class, pray. Before you come to church, please, please pray. And don't become discouraged in your prayer life. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, being watchful to this end. And here's the part I want you to get. With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That word, that very interesting word that Paul put in that in his letter to the Ephesians when he said, with all perseverance. Do you know why he threw that in there? Because he knew how hard prayer was. Prayer is difficult. I mean, it takes effort. It's easy to say, oh Lord, bless us, bless them, amen, here we go. You know? And that's kind of what we do a lot of times. But I'm talking about serious prayer. Serious prayer that when you get on your knees. Do y'all have this problem? You get on, you start talking to the Lord and your mind goes 1,000 miles away. Does anybody else do that? Guilty. You mean preachers have that problem? You bet we do. We probably have it worse than y'all do. Yeah? It's a battle to pray. And there are times when I pray that it seems like I'm just talking, that nobody's listening. You mean preachers do that too? Yes, we do. There are times when I pray that, it's like the old saying goes, I just feel like my prayers are not getting above the ceiling, leaving the room. But you know what? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God's answer to my prayers will be based on my feelings. Nowhere. It says pray without ceasing. It says pray with all prayer. But it doesn't say pray and your feelings will affect anything. What I've discovered in my life, I've got to have discipline. That when I don't feel like praying, I've got to pray anyway. And when it seems like nobody's listening, when it seems like I'm just talking, I've got to stop, back up, start all over and say, no, Satan, you cannot have this time. It takes perseverance. And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Timothy, you've got to learn to get in there and pray. And even when it doesn't feel like you're doing any good, keep on praying. Because if you believe that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, you have to also know that God hears your prayers no matter how you feel. Paul's telling Timothy here, come to my side and let's pray before we do anything else. You say, well, Brother Doug, what do I pray for? Let's read. Verse 2. For kings and all who are in authority. I like that. For kings and all who are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God. First thing we've got to know and learn how to pray is we've got to pray for God's will, not yours. You realize prayer is not about me. Okay? As a matter of fact, in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." How much time do you spend praying for yourself? How much time? You know, "Lord, I would like to see this. Lord, I would like to feel better. I would like a new job. I would like more money. Lord, help my wife to understand me better. Lord, help me to understand my wife. Lord, you know, and it's all about me." He said, no. Prayer's not about you. Prayer's not about getting your will done on this earth. It's about getting God's will done on this earth. And you know when your prayer life becomes meaningful? It's when you take your eyes off you and put them on God. "Lord, thy will be done." That you pray, he says, "with all supplications." Now, Lord, I'm gonna throw my needs off to the side. Or I'm gonna throw my desire, and I'm gonna pray for the needs. You know, how much time do you spend praying for the real needs in your life? Okay? Not money, not a new house, not new cars, not "Lord, help the sick." But did you back up and you say, "Lord, I want to lay these needs before you." Needs like someone's salvation. Needs like, I've got a brother that's hurting. I've got a sister that's in trouble. I'm talking about the things that really matter. And I've told you this several times. If it don't matter 5 years from now, it don't matter today, right? Pray with all supplication. Lay those needs before you. And all prayers, he says, which is basically the request before God. Bringing your petitions before God. And intercession, with all intercessions. You know what that word intercession literally means? It means to fall in with. As, you know, I'm coming by your side and falling in a mission with you. That you're on a mission and I'm falling in with you in my prayers. Listen, do you pray for people who are ministering? Do you pray for our children's teachers? Do you pray for your adult teacher? Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for our associate pastors? That's the idea there. That you're falling in with them. And you may not be filling that ministry. I realize everybody's not going to preach. Everybody's not going to be a youth pastor. Everybody's not going to be a college pastor. But everybody can be behind those pastors. Everybody may not teach a class. Everybody may not keep the nursery or teach a children's class. But everybody can be behind those ministries in their prayers. You want to know one of the most profound, heart-moving things a pastor can feel is when somebody comes to you and says, "Brother Doug, I've prayed for you today." Amen. And I don't know what that I don't know what that does. I really don't. I don't understand. But it stirs something on the inside and gives a strength that I quite frankly cannot explain to you. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and most of all, giving of thanks. Let me ask you this. How much of your prayer life do you spend giving thanks? Or do you pray like you're at the drive-thru at McDonald's? "I'll have a Big Mac, a large fry, and a medium Coke." Folks, we serve an awesome God. We are who we are, and we are what we are by the grace of God. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy for us to just stop and say, "Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the life that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for the church family that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church family. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you for your presence from day to day." You know, one thing that's in my prayer life lately is I want to be aware of the presence of God all the time. that no matter where I am, that I'm aware God's there, that God's moving. And I know that, and I thank God for that. But it's often easy to forget that. What a blessing that is, though, you know? That if I'm at a hospital, God is there. If I'm in church, God is there. If I'm riding a motorcycle or playing golf, God is there. And if I'm in trouble, God is there. What an enormous blessing and opportunity that is for praise and thanksgiving. We're also told in the text, he said, and pray for all men, for kings who are in authority. Pray for all men. Do you do that? Instead of spending all your time praying for yourself, do you pray for others? When you see others having difficulty in life, let me ask you this. Have you ever looked and said, I knew that would happen to them. I knew they were going down that road. I knew this would happen. They got what they deserved. That does absolutely no good. And it may be very true. They may be getting, you know, reaping the harvest that they've sowed. But it does absolutely no good for you to say they're getting what they deserve. You know what will do them good? Pray for them. Pray for them. Are they in trouble? Even if they brought it on themselves, pray for them. Pray for all men. Is somebody lost? Pray for them. How much time do you spend praying for lost people? Say, Brother Doug, I don't know lost people. Well, let's expand our horizons. Let's meet some this week. Amen? Okay? We're the light of the world. You don't take a light and hide it under a bushel. Let's start praying for lost people. There's nothing more exciting for a pastor than for lost people to be in a service. You know that? There's nothing more exciting for a pastor than for lost people to walk the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. First step there is pray for those lost people. Is somebody an enemy? Is somebody an enemy? What do you do to your enemies? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, pray for those. Pray for your enemies. Do good to those who use you. Pray for the sick. James talked about, is anyone sick among you? Pray for the sick. Sometimes I think we get caught up and we think our prayers is all, that it's all about sick people. It's not, okay? If all your prayers are sick people, you need to expand your horizons, okay? I'm not saying don't pray for the sick. Yes, let's pray for the sick. We're told in the Bible to do so. But don't let that be your only prayer. Verse 2 says, pray for kings and those in authority. Boy, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Especially when you don't like the politician. There are a lot of things that our government does that I disagree with. And boy, I can whine with the best of them. I can dislike, I can, you know, talk about how wrong they are. But it does absolutely no good. You know what my place is as a child of God? Is to pray for them. Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, bring them to a saving knowledge of you if they're lost. Pray for those in authority that we may live a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. See, that's what prayer's about. That we may live a life that's God honoring. That's why you're here. That's why we're all here. Then, once you've taken these things to God in prayer, Paul says in verse 8, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now there are some who think that this means lifting your hands up in prayer. And I guess it could, but it's kind of out of context there. There's nothing wrong with that. Lifting up your hands toward heaven as you pray and as you worship. That's a wonderful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But in this context, okay, what it's saying is, what Paul is telling Timothy is, now we've went over this. You pray about everything. You pray about everything and everybody. And then you're ready to lift up holy hands, meaning pure hands. The idea there is you're ready to go to work for the Lord after you've prayed. That you're ready to do what God has called you. Not in wrath. Have you ever served angry? There's one honest person here. We've all gotten frustrated and angry from time to time. What's the avenue for that? Oh, prayer. Prayer. Oh, Lord, fix my heart. Lord, I know my heart's not right. Lord, you got to fix it because I can't fix it. Oh, but when you've taken everything to the Lord in prayer and you've laid it all out, bare before the Lord for the Lord to see and for the Lord to take care of, then you're ready to lift up holy hands and do the job that God has called you to do. You realize, of course, that pastors are not the only people with a mission in this life. You have a mission. Wherever you work, God has placed you there. If you're a grandparent, God has given you a mission. If you're a parent, God has given you a mission. And as many of you that are serving in different capacities in this church, God has given you a mission. Point of the message: we can't do anything successfully without first pouring our heart out before God in prayer, because that's where our power comes from. The Bible tells us, Jesus Himself tells us, you have not because you ask not. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? Here's what I know. I know prayer works. I know I pray sometimes and I don't get the answer I wanted to have. That ever happened to you? Okay? God, I've never had an unanswered prayer. Had to know several times. But God has never not answered a prayer. Okay? But there's a lot of times that I found myself not having because I didn't ask. Here's the challenge. Pray. Pray. As God's people, pray. I said we need revival, and we do, you know. We need a renewed fire, renewed zeal. What a wonderful time for that fire and that zeal to come. I love August. You know why I love August? Because people quit going on vacation and school gets back in session and we get our college kids back and it just gets really good, you know? What a wonderful time for revival. You have not because you ask not. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'd like to be saved and you know you've for a long time that you've needed to take care of it. You're a prayer away from salvation. Very simply, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to have a verse of invitation and give you an opportunity to call out to God and receive Him as your Savior. Whatever your spiritual need is, Jesus is the answer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word and for this reminder for all of us, myself included, Lord. So often my prayer life suffers. And for that, I apologize. Lord, tonight, we come to You. I pray in one accord, praying that Your will be done in this church. Lord, bring revival among us. Light the fires of our heart, that we'll be passionate for Your work, that we'll be passionate for Your service, that we may have a true desire to see lost souls saved. Oh, Father, we thank You for where You have placed us. We know that we're all we are because of Your grace. And we thank You. So, Lord, tonight we come to acknowledge that without You, we're nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, manifest Your glory among us tonight, this next week, and the coming days. We give You all glory and praise because You are an awesome God. In Jesus' name I pray.